Welcome everyone to Rock'em Nation Podcast. This is Sam Snelling. This is an episode of Dive Cuts. With me is Matt Harris. We are going to talk Mizzou basketball, jumping right in. No hesitations, no goofy monitors, monikers, monitors. Too much time at the old help desk, Matt. Mizzou has won basketball games, multiple basketball games. Matt, since the last time we talked, they have in fact won two in a row, three of their last four. How are you feeling at this moment?
Mildly optimistic.
Yeah. Always measured.
Yeah. Always never measured. Never effusive. Always realistic. Just what people tune in for a podcast at a tastefully done fan blog. So I feel good. You know, they're winning basketball games. I think I said to you earlier today, like, there's a sliding scale. Like, early on in the season, we sort of, you know, kind of focus on process over results. Like, oh, how's the offense looking? What kind of things are they running? Oh, that action's interesting. Ooh, that lineup combination's kind of creative. And by the time you get to, like, mid-February, it's like, this thing could be, like, the basketball equivalent of gruel. But if it gets the job done, like, the results are all that matters. So, you know, for a team that's, you know, been through some struggles and kind of just all over the place this season, wins are all that should matter. They're the only currency that should sort of, you know, take precedence right now. So we'll talk about the particulars, but I think, you know, if you're looking at the top line, they're winning basketball games, and that's really all that matters as we kind of wind down the season.
So you know me fairly well at this point, and sort of how I view progress is more analytically than say win loss, but it is nice, I guess, for you know, Missouri, even with some of their injury issues, to already be at their SEC win total that they hit last year. I don't, like, even though the league is very much, very clearly down from where it was a year ago, and much more so than it was 2 years ago, still having five games to play and you're already at your win total from last year, which is five games, I think you can view that as one step in like the progress of the program. But the concern that I have is, you know, basically, like, even though the wins have been coming, the, you know, progress in the analytics has been moderate. Yeah, like, so since the start of this, they've bumped up a bit. So I think they were in, like, the one teens, and now they're in the low 100s. You know, basically, there was a projected 2-point win over Ole Miss, and they won by three. And I said in study hall, like, I don't really think either team played well. You know, essentially, Brian Tyree is really good, and Xavier Pinson played as well as he's played all year and was able to match that production. And then there was enough other things that happened for Missouri for them to sort of be a little bit better. It helps playing at home. But if you play that same game in Oxford, like, that's probably going to be a loss. Like, that's just sort of how the home team tends to kind of get those ones and twos. So for Missouri to kind of be heading into this next stretch where they have two road games in a row and three of their last five on the road, they're going to have to figure out a way to play better on the road, play more efficient. And you can't necessarily count on them playing like they did at LSU, because LSU is a team that can look disinterested for 30 minutes of game action and then just sort of decide to start playing. And I think you can see that a lot when they take on teams that are towards the bottom of the conference. I think it's one of the reasons why they got picked off by Vanderbilt. Like, they just sort of slept, walked through it. They're like, oh, we can just outscore them. And then you realize at some point, oh, you kind of have to play defense. And sometimes against a team that needed that confidence boost, like, it's too late. And I'm not saying, like, I think Mizzou is in a much better place than Vanderbilt is. You know, but that is another road game that they're going to have where, you know, Vandy is looking for another win, and they have to be circling that game in the calendar thinking, well, here's a team that we can pick off. You know, they're at the bottom of the conference standings along with us. And so I would like to see, I would like to see Jeremiah Tillman and Mark Smith come back and Missouri to start playing more at the top 50 level that I think they're capable of playing. And maybe those two guys can sort of take some of the pressure away from, you know, Drew Smith and Xavier Pinson, because right now those guys are doing a lot of heavy lifting, and it's a lot to ask. It's sort of like, I mean, Jordan Geist did so much for this team last year, and maybe his sort of excellence in patchwork, sort of patching over some ugly spots in the roster, made us overestimate how good some of the other guys were. And so now we're kind of seeing that the same thing with like Drew, and we've seen this explosion from X, which has been awesome. I'm really happy for him. I hope he's able to continue at least some level of that. I don't think it's realistic to expect him to score 30 points a game for the rest of the season. I know that sounds crazy, but most players, even the best players, don't have that kind of consistency in scoring from night to night. So I don't know. I'm happy they're winning. I do think that there's some maybe overexcitement for like what's happened and not necessarily paying attention to some of the things we were kind of talking about earlier, like, you know, the process of it. So I think it's good that they've gotten wins. I still think that your goal is to get three wins out of the next five games. And if you can win your home games and sneak one on the road, you get to 8-10. I have to think you consider that a good season, considering the factors that sort of went against them early on.
Yeah. And the one thing, somebody today was like, well, they get, you know, I think they can beat Mississippi State and Alabama at home. And, you know, it always helps to get quality teams at your place. But, you know, to me, I think the hard part here is that every team they're playing right now is desperate. You know, Arkansas is, you know, has absolutely hit the skids. They're 1-5 in games that Isaiah Joe has missed. The defense has kind of come unglued a little bit. You know, they've slid kind of the back end of the bubble. You know, they've got five games left to really start trying to salvage an at-large bid. And, you know, there's going to be a sense of desperation when they go to Bud Walton on Saturday. And, you know, the same thing can sort of be said about Mississippi State and Alabama. Three of these opponents are fighting for their bubble lives right now. They're fighting to stay in postseason contention, to get an NCAA tournament bid. And so the stakes for them won't be in question. Vanderbilt would love to have more than one SEC win in the last 2 years. And that team has been fighting its ass off. If you watch them, you may think, oh, you know, they only got one win. That team fights so hard. You know,
they picked off or nearly picked off Tennessee
the other
game.
Night. I mean,
at Tennessee, that's a tough place to play.
And, you know, they're fighting and they're scratching and they're clawing. You know, maybe they'll get Ole Miss at home. Maybe Ole Miss will sort of be, you know, weary and kind of at the end of its rope. But, you know, I think you have to look at the context in which they're going to be playing these games. There are four teams that are with a lot to play for, respectively. And I think the difference is, too, you know, unlike the first time they played, Arkansas will be at full strength. They will have Isaiah Joe. We don't know, how much he'll look like the Isaiah Joe we know and expect, but having him back eases a ton of pressure on Mason Jones. You know, Mississippi State is not battling a major injury. You know, I don't know if they're going to be 25 or 30 points better than Missouri and Columbia, but they've still got that front line, which absolutely dominated Missouri. And Alabama, you know, Herb Jones, you know, hurt his wrist, but their top three guards are still around, are still healthy. So there's not going to be a key injury hobbling somebody. There won't be, you know, teams that are sort of, you know, scuffling along. This is going to be a tough closing stretch for them. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, where, you know, obviously I think they're playing with some more confidence, but, you know, it'll just be interesting to see kind of what that looks like in a closing stretch that I think is going to be tougher than some people might assume.
Yeah, so to continue the downward trend, I'm kidding, actually.
To make people even more upset with us because we're not effusive with praise.
Like, you know, because I do think that, I mean, there is reason for you to, like, feel good. Like, I think that there has been a lot of really, really crappy luck with this program. And that extends to, I mean, even some of the things that I was kind of telling you about, and I put in study hall about, like, the last minute against Ole Miss. It's like, Mizzou had control of the game. They're knocking down their free throws, and, you know, freaking Kadeem Sy knocks down a three-pointer. And you're like, I mean, like, what? Like, Charleston Southern can't hit a three to save their lives, and of course they shoot 48% against Missouri. You know, it's just like this is the kind of, like, luck that this team has had, and for a short swing here, we've seen it kind of go the other way. You know, in particular, like,
Auburn
getting the break
threes.
of Auburn, not just breaking threes, but getting a game without Isaac Okoro. I mean, Auburn is very clearly a different team with Isaac Okoro than they are without him. And even though I think if you play that game probably 10 times, Auburn's still going to win, what, like 7 of them. Even though that's probably the case, you know, with or without Isaac Okoro, he is clearly a guy that makes a difference on that team. And so for Missouri to sort of catch Auburn on a night where they didn't have, you know, a lottery draft pick playing, and a night where they, you know, couldn't seem to buy a three-pointer, was fortunate. Now, they took advantage. They executed. They attacked the rim. They had a really good night offensively. You know, they did make Auburn, you know, take tougher shots, and in turn, they got a really nice double-digit win. Like, that's nothing that you take away from Missouri for that. But there was some, and there always is a little bit of luck that you need in playing good basketball. And for a long time, man, Missouri has just not had those breaks. And so it was kind of, it's been nice over the last few weeks to sort of see them get some breaks. You know, see that, you know, the ball that sort of bounces, you know, between two guys. And I thought there was like a couple plays against Auburn where, you know, offensive rebounds would like hit an Auburn guy and bounce between two of them and go right to a Mizzou guy. And it's just like, all right, like that's the kind of breaks that you need. You know, sometimes you're working and you're hustling and you're doing all those things and the ball just goes the other way. You just, there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm really happy that these guys are getting to see things that, you know, okay, the ball's going our way. We're knocking in the shots that we need to knock in. We're taking advantage of the right play at the right time and making plays down the stretch as opposed to watching the other team make plays.
Yeah, and I think that there's it's been hard, I think, for us to sort of, and people who listen to us probably listen to us grapple with, you know, how to fit this team into context. And, like, you know, trying to, you know, understand how they've evolved. And there's so many kind of confounding variables, like, okay, Tillman's out, and now Mark Smith is out, and now there are guys that are injured for the other team. Like, it's been hard at times to really sort of, like you said earlier, sort of assess where the process of this team's sort of growth has been. And that's not to say it's going to get any easier down the stretch here, but, like, the last three or four games, like, I think it's been easy for me to sort of, you know, go through the box score and watch and sort of understand, okay, here's what's happening. Here's why this is happening. And here's sort of, you know, what sort of sense we should make of it. And that's nice. I mean, it's refreshing to sort of have the ability to, you know, be clear-eyed in terms of what we're seeing in terms and, you know, fitting it into a context that doesn't require a bunch of caveats. So that's been a nice sort of change there. But at the same point in time, you know, I think we're, and we've talked about it today, you know, I think we get into a position where we're more pragmatic than some fans are because, but I understand that because, like, you know, for a Missouri fan, you want to tune in, you want to watch this team play good basketball. And they have for, you know, longer stretches than they have at any other point in the season. You know, everybody was pinning hopes on the sophomores taking a step forward. And Xavier Pinson's played well in the last four games. That's undeniable. The stats, you know, the raw stats will tell you that he's played well. And, you know, guys have wanted to see, you know, we've said all year there's got to be balance up and down the lineup. Well, in two of these games, there was. You know, I think at LSU and against Arkansas, there was some good balance up and down the starting five. So for as much as we want to, like, I think, be pragmatic and sort of fit things into the proper context, a lot of the things we've said we've wanted to see from this team have sort of transpired. And you don't want to run down this group just because it hasn't been the exact optimal outcome that we would like to see. So that's been, I guess, the hard thing for me to do is, you know, say, okay, I can see clearly what's happening now. I can understand what's happening. Yeah, it's sort of a relief to see these things transpiring, but let's not put too much weight on what we're seeing. Let's not drift too far the other direction. So I think that's going to be the challenge on the stretch here, is to not put too much weight on what we're seeing, if that makes any sense.
Well, it does, and I think that's sort of, you know, how I've been approaching it. And I think that, but it's also, I feel like we should go back and have people listen to the things that we were saying when Mizzou wasn't winning basketball games, and defending, I think, the team to a degree, because you watch them run their offense and get good shots, and the shots don't go in. And you see on Twitter and, you know, Facebook or comment sections, you know, Tiger Board, whatever, everyone's just like, this offense is terrible. Everyone's standing around. They can't do anything. It's horrible. Konzo should be fired. And now all of a sudden the shots are going in with more frequency and everyone's happy and the offense is fixed. And the reality is, it's like they're doing the same stuff. They're just making shots. Now part of it is, I mean, they have de-emphasized the three-point shooting. They've made a concerted effort to attack the rim. A large part of that is the personnel. When Jeremiah Tillman is on the floor, you want to use him to create your space and to create your angles. When Reed Nicko is on the floor, you don't. You want to put him in the dunker spot or in a high pick and roll and try to get downhill. And they do that with those other guys as well, but for the most part, it feels like even though for the most part things have sort of stayed the same analytically, the thing that's brought me the most relief is like the pressure valve release of just seeing the ball go in, seeing a few wins in the column, and that pressure now is off the team because people are feeling more optimistic and they can play a little bit more loose, because when things aren't going well, you really play tight. And when things are going better and you're getting a few breaks here and there, then the fans are more likely to show up. You're more likely to play in front of a good crowd. And when you play in front of a good crowd, you tend to, you know, play with more energy, and energy usually helps guys play better at, like, yeah, there's a saying in coaching, it's like the ball finds energy. And that just means that the guys that play hard and play with energy are usually the ones that get to the ball, whether it's a loose ball, a rebound, or, you know, or find themselves open for shots. Like, that's usually how it works. And so for me, like, that's the biggest thing takeaway that I would have is like the pressure valve of, you know, been released on this team, and they're able to just play a little bit more loose.
Yeah, and I think I said last week, and we can never prove it, but I think psychologically, I think it sort of helped coming out of the A&M game. You know, obviously you want to have Tillman available. Obviously, I think his impact has been felt more defensively. I've been ardent in saying that I think where he helps this team is more on that end of the floor. But I think there was something about, you know, seeing Tillman, you know, play Texas A&M and then realize, okay, he's not coming back. He's going to be out again for an extended stretch. There's no guy coming in to help us revert to what we want to do. We're not waiting for Tillman to come back and be a guy who we, you know, run split cuts off the post for, or, you know, we dump the ball inside, you know, if worse comes to worse. There was, I think, sort of a realization that, okay, now, yeah, we act, if we're going to get to the rim, this is what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to be fully committed to driving the ball, playing downhill, and sort of being assertive that way. And I think they were helped by, you know, immediately getting Arkansas, which has zero rim protection to speak of. And I think that's one of those kind of, you know, situations where the fates kind of work in your favor, where you're looking to try and change and embrace, you know, okay, we do have to kind of be more attack-minded off the bounce. And now here's an opponent that's going to let us do that. And then they go to LSU, a team that can't contain a dribbler to save its life. And so I think they got a little bit of a fortunate kind of turn in the schedule there to where they could, you know, fully embrace, you know, the change in tactics. They found some success. It's bred some confidence. And like you said, I think it's sort of seeped in to every other kind of pore of what they do. And it's trickled down, and our fans are showing up and kind of giving them that extra boost when they need it. So it's like we've been saying, we can be as analytically minded as we want. We can, you know, be as scheme minded as you want, but sometimes you just need a certain orchestration or order of events to happen for you to sort of, you know, turn the direction of the season. And they've gotten that. And, you know, it's a credit to them that they've, you know, been tough and resilient enough mentally to be in a position to where they could close the season with a pretty good run here if you know, some of the things we're seeing carry forward.
So Saturday at Arkansas, projected loss, KenPom by 6. Wednesday at Vanderbilt, projected KenPom win by 1. Following Saturday, Mississippi State at home, projected loss by 1. Again on the road at Ole Miss, a projected loss by 5. And then a home game against Alabama, which is right now a projected loss by a point. And I say right now because, you know, Alabama is a team that kind of goes hot and cold. They could go on a cold spell and fall from 55 to 75 in KenPom, and then that becomes a win, or projected win anyway. So kind of looking ahead a little bit, Arkansas, obviously, Isaiah Joe, who isn't quite having the year that I think a lot of people probably expect the kind of year that Mason Jones is having would be the one that Isaiah Joe would have. But Joe is a little bit more of a spot up guy, and but still getting a guy that can potentially give you, you know, 7 3-pointers in a game is always going to help a team right now that's struggling. And struggling on the offensive side of the floor, where really their only main option is Mason Jones. And Desi Stills has given him, you know, a little bit of a lift. But for the most part, it's Mason Jones or they're dead.
Yeah. They've, you know, sometimes, you know, you might get Edro Bailey at the margins. You know, Jimmy Witt can, you know, knock down shots in the mid-range, but I think Jimmy's only, I actually want to look this up. I think Jimmy's only attempted 1 3 this year, which is just he is 153 for 310 inside the arc, 0 of 1 behind it. So Jimmy does not shoot threes. You know, Mason's, you know, like we've said, kind of a guy who wants to play more downhill. You know, Bailey can occasionally step out and knock in a three, but outside of that, they just don't have a ton of jump shooting. And you know, Missouri has shown that they can play great positional defense. They can force you to take contested shots. and they'll have enough size to get on the glass and, you know, control second possession. So it'll be interesting just what the road environment is like there, because we know Bud Walton's a tough place to play, and, you know, Arkansas is going to be hungry to try and turn the tide here a little bit, because the last thing they need is, you know, two losses on, I think, what would be quad two losses to Missouri. So not quite quad three, but they can't drop two. They can't get swept by Missouri, one, just because they need some momentum right now. But if Missouri gets a win on Saturday, they will be 2-0 against Arkansas. They'll be 1-0 against Ole Miss. And they'll have done a lot of work to basically assure that they won't be playing on Wednesday in Nashville. Arkansas will suddenly be in a real, real jam if they're behind Missouri, who owns the season sweep. And, you know, it's just going to be really hard for them to, you know, make a push at the 8 or the 9 seed, because they've got to go to Tennessee. They have LSU coming in, and then they've got to go to Texas A&M, which is playing better. So for Arkansas, this isn't just about stopping their NCAA tournament bids from going out the window. This is about trying to, you know, avoid playing on Wednesday in Nashville. So a lot of stakes for Arkansas this weekend. It'll be interesting to see kind of where their headspace is at when Missouri comes in.
Yeah, because they're scuffling. And really, yeah. So the first, so they won on the road, which was the first game without Isaiah Joe. They beat Alabama in a close game. Turnaround came at home, lost to Auburn in overtime. Okay, it's understandable. Auburn's, you know, playing well, all that kind of stuff. Then they lose, turn around and lose Missouri in overtime. Then they go on the road and just get blown out by Tennessee. Come home, play a tight one, but a last second tip in at Mississippi State. Go play Florida, and they don't even score 60 points, which, you know, for an Arkansas team with, you know, some of the firepower they have is a little surprising. So that's two road games where they barely hit 60 points, 61 against Tennessee, 59 against Florida. They have played better at home. So in the stretch without Joe, overtime loss to Auburn, they scored 76. And then Mississippi State, they scored 77 and lost by a point. And that's all without Isaiah Joe. So let's say Isaiah Joe comes back, doesn't really give him much. I still think that this is a game that Missouri, even though I think that they can win it, because I've always felt all year long that this Arkansas team is a little overrated. Even like to me, watching them sort of be in the 30s and 40s in KenPom just didn't quite make a whole lot of sense. You know, but hey, you know, like the analytics are what they are, and right now they're 48th. Sorry, they were 44th against Florida. So I really like this is a game where Arkansas is still kind of the same team. If you can harass them enough and force Mason Jones to have like a tough night shooting, I think this is a game where you can steal one at Bud Walton. It's a lot to ask, particularly for the way Missouri has played on the road, but it's possible.
Yeah, I just looked it up in Hooplands. Arkansas in this stretch of games, 0.97 points per possession on offense, 1.06 points per possession allowed. So basically 10 points per 100 possessions worse than the opposition right now. So it's not going well. The 46.0 effective field goal percentage, not great on the offensive glass, just 24.7% offensive rebound rate. Not shooting the twos well at all. They're at 45.1%. Just there's not a lot offensively for them right now that's going right. And, you know, maybe Joe helps them, but I almost think this is a situation similar to what we saw, you know, with Mark Smith last year, where maybe Joe comes back and tries to get them something, but, you know, you have a knee procedure and you've been out and, you know, you got to play your way back into game shape a little bit. Maybe you're a little bit rusty. If you can give them something, they'll take it. But this feels like the danger zone for Arkansas right now. Just that they have not, you know, when they've cracked, you know, 76 points you know, 75 points. Only one of those has been in regulation. The offense has just not been what you would expect from them in the interim here. And I'm not sure if Joe can come in and be the instant sort of catalyst that some people are hoping for. But, you know, again, I'm inclined to think like you, which is, you know, it's a tough road game. You know, bounces tend to go the other way. But if you can pick one up here, you know, suddenly the home stretch gets a little bit more favorable because you're going to have a game that I think you should win at Vanderbilt if all things are equal. That you should get a road win there. And now you're 15-13, you're 7-8, and you can start thinking about an 8 or a 9 seed going into Nashville. So it's an opportunity here to really, I think, pick up the velocity that they've been able to sort of start over this stretch.
So, let's just say, hypothetically, Missouri finds a way to beat Arkansas on the road. That puts them at 6-8. If they were able to beat Vanderbilt, they're 7-8. Going into a stretch against Mississippi State, who beat the absolute snot out of them in Starkville. Ole Miss, which is, I envision, would be a tough game, because even when Ole Miss has not always played well, but they've typically played pretty well at home. And the home game against Alabama could come down to, you know, possibly getting to an 8-10 record. Like, to me, like, that's why this game of Bud Walton is really kind of important. I think it is more likely Missouri beats Arkansas at Bud Walton because of how these teams are trending than going to Oxford and winning there. So if you win that game, you beat Vanderbilt. Now I think you're in a place where if Missouri fans want to get, you know, sort of into fantasy land, where you can start to maybe consider the way that this team is capable of playing. Now, Jeremiah Tillman, because I think there's been rumors on our Slack channel that that Jeremiah Tillman might be back for this weekend. So if he's playing well enough down the stretch, and if you can get the next two games in the win column, I think at that point you can maybe start to consider this to be the kind of team that might make the NIT.
Yeah, they got it. To me, the goal right now is to get into the top 75 of net. I think they're about 86th right now entering the day. Top 70 of net is probably a safe spot to feel like you could get to the NIT. So if you can, Arkansas is still going to rate well enough to give you a little bit of a boost there. If you could pick off either State or Alabama in the closing stretch, like if you could win these next two and then split with State and Alabama, you'd feel pretty good about getting into the top 70 of net and giving it, not to say that you'd host an NIT first round game, but you'd get into the field there. And to me, the bigger sort of implication right now is to, if you're looking at it from a stepwise progression, is just improve your SEC seed. Just get out of the Wednesday game. You know, it's going to be tough because A&M, Tennessee, and Alabama are ahead of them in 7th, 8th, and 9th. So it's going to be hard to move up from 10th. But the bigger deal right now is to beat Arkansas, get three wins against Arkansas and Ole Miss under your belt, and use that as insurance to, at worst, finish 10th. Just get out of the Wednesday game. You know, get somebody like Alabama in the 7-10 game on a neutral floor, and maybe you get a win in Nashville, and combine that with what you've done down the stretch, and you get an NIT bid. Like, that to me is the goal right now, is just to improve SEC seeding position, and if that along the way helps your NIT bid hopes, all the better. But I don't want to get too far ahead of where the fans are here and just sort of say, just avoid playing in Wednesday in Nashville. That's like become, in the last 5 years, like one of those spots seems, you know, saved and reserved for Missouri. Just get out of the Wednesday game. Just avoid Wednesday entirely and see, you know, whatever else flows from that, all the better.
Yeah, so at five, I think they're probably out of that Wednesday if they get two more. So get two more. If you could pick up another one or two, but the main thing is we'll see how things go on Saturday. I really think this is an intriguing game, and if Missouri can find a way to go into Bud Walton and upset the Hogs, I think it would go a long way towards convincing. Not necessarily us, because I think overall this team has largely underachieved all year, even with the injuries. I know we've sort of, you have to put a caveat on the season because of injuries to Mark Smith and Jeremiah Tillman, particularly Tillman, when the injury happened right before a tough stretch. There's just no way you can't talk about the progress of this team without mentioning that. But they still underachieved. The way that they played in Kansas City, the way that they went through the opening stretch of nine games plus their game against West Virginia was terrible. And so you can't like discount what the expectations going into the season, which let's see this team make progress. Maybe the projection in the 30s was a little bit high. They should have been a team that hovered in and around the 50s, and they've really failed to do that until this like late stretch where they've played moderately better and have played well enough to win. So I think win on Saturday. Let's start pushing that momentum back up to improve your net ranking and improve your KenPom rating, and then I think you'll get more people excited. I think like the hardcore fans are already pretty excited, but
I think the hard part is, and we've mentioned this, like two things can be true. They can be showing, you know, some signs of growth right now, but the structural things we've talked about with the roster still exist. Like they could get to the NIT, maybe win a game, but you know, when mid-March or late March gets here, they're probably still going to have to go find an impact wing, whether that's in the transfer market, a JUCO, maybe it's a kid, a good recruit that gets kicked loose in a coaching change, who's let out of their LOI. The need for an elite wing is still there. And that's not going to go away. Torrance Watson's just wherever or whatever has happened in his development is still, something that needs a reckoning, because I don't think anyone saw just any of what's transpired unfolding here. I think the other thing that we'll have to be careful of is, like, if Missouri closes the stretch well here, there's going to be the temptation to say, well, they're bringing a bunch of guys back and, they'll run it back. And we did that last year because we thought, there's a natural progression that happens most of the time for sophomores. We're going to have to, I think, be a little bit more cautious in, waiting, the importance of these final eight or nine games of the season. And like you said last week, if you had to pick the SEC pecking order starting, once the season is done, if you had to forecast where it was next year, it would be hard, even with the signs we've seen so far, to pick Missouri higher than ninth or tenth with the current roster. So all that's not going away.
Yeah, I don't think that.
And I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I'm just saying what's going to be hard is there's going to be a lot of if it unfolds the way we're talking about here, where Missouri rallies and gets to 8-10, gets an NIT bid, you know, is going into the off season with a little bit of momentum, you know, are we just going to wind up in the same position where we were last off season, which is where we were thinking, okay, we've seen some progress from, like, Xavier Pinto, for example. Let's bake this in as durable. And I don't know if we can do that. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, a situation where this team gets less benefit of the doubt and, you know, is going to have to surprise us early in the season next year to really sort of ease any skepticism we feel. So it's, like I said, feel good about what's happening right now, but I think it doesn't erase what's transpired in the first 22 games here. It's just been clearer to see the progress now, but it's not dismissing all the sort of deeper questions that sort of exist about, you know, the structure of the roster and sort of where player development has to go.
Well, and I will say that, you know, like we talked a few weeks ago about, you know, how much of a reset the program might need in the off season. And so let's say that they finish 8-10, which, you know, like I said in study hall today, I think that's your goal, is to finish at that mark. So if they finish 8-10, it's record wise progress over last year. You know, their non-conference schedule was a little bit tougher, which I think, you know, led to a similar but slightly better record. But I still don't think it changes what your needs are. And I question whether or not you can answer your needs with the limited scholarships that Missouri currently has available. You know, and I, like, I'm not here to say, like, oh, okay, you need to run off this guy, run off this guy. I'm never going to be the guy that says that. But at some point, there are guys on the roster that you have that you have to start seeing progress from. And if you don't, then I think it's usually amicable to try to find them a better landing spot. And Missouri, for a long time, has not seen the kind of progress that we need. And we still don't get what we need from Javon Pickett or Torrance Watson. You still don't get what you need, you know, around the rim from Mitchell Smith. Like, Mitchell has bought into playing hard and defending and taking charges, rebounding. I mean, rebounds his butt off. But you pass him the ball around the rim, and like, he's basically unable to score it against competition. Leave him open, you have a chance. So, you know, I think when you're talking about the structure of the team, if those are still going to be main cogs going into next year, they either need to vastly improve and become more efficient, or you need somebody in those roles that is. If you want this team to go from maybe a preseason 9th or 10th projection into a team that is going to be a regular contender for an NCAA tournament, and not just making the tournament, but a higher seed, because I still think the pieces are in place, if everybody's healthy, for this team to be a bubble team on, you know, if everything kind of breaks their way a little bit. So I don't think the overall structure of the program has changed. My issue is more like they have not developed or played well enough for me to think that the bulk of the minutes that are going out to guys are good enough to kind of get where I think Konzo wants to take the program.
It's about hard choices at this point. You know, what we know, and I've repeated this ad nauseum, is, you know, there's diminishing marginal returns the longer a guy is here. You know, the biggest gains we see are usually in the first half of a player's sophomore season. Like, usually, if we're talking about, like, analytically in terms of offensive rating, you know, and then traditional stats. Like, and then you see some guys, you know, plateau a little bit, you know, about 20 games into their sophomore season. So what you have to really do, I think, going into the offseason now, is assess the fact that, you know, for better or worse, Javon Pickett is what he is. Torrance Watson is probably close to a finished product, or what you're going to get from him moving forward you should probably be more modest in your expectations. Pinson, for how well he's played right now in this stretch, there are still times where he's loose with the ball. There are still lapses off the ball defensively. His best play is still putting him in a 1-4 flat situation. His ability to operate in the pick and roll is not nearly as efficient as Drew's is, but you know, he's a guy who can at least create offense for himself. So the question is, could he evolve into a, you know, pretty consistent starter for you alongside Pinson? Outside of that, I just think, you know, we talk all the time about Missouri, you know, is going to be a program that has to, you know, get to where it wants to go by building a stable core of guys. And, you know, for as much as, you know, this program has, these guys have not developed in the way that some people might have hoped, they've at least been together enough. They're bought into the program, bought into the culture. You know, as far as chemistry in the locker room, that's where you want it to be. But now it's the question of, okay, that's great, and we have the culture where we want it, but are these guys going to get us to where we want to go? And so that's where I think...
To the finish line.
Yeah, to the finish line, a way to get the branding in there. So it's, like, this feels like an offseason where it's like, you kind of have to really test your principles. You know, like, we want guys that are all in, we want guys that are bought in, we want guys that are tough, we want guys that, you know, are going to, you know, give everything they have, you know, on the floor. That's great, you can have those guys, but at the end of the day, are they giving you what you need to get to where you aspire this for the program? And I'm skeptical that there's some guys on the roster that are going to help them get there. But are you willing to risk the culture you've cultivated on the bet that you can upgrade, especially in, you know, in what could be a free-for-all of a transfer market? So it's, as we close out here, I just think it's going to be an interesting next 2 months for the program. You know, can they finish well now? And then how much do you tinker with the chemistry on hand? That's going to be a fascinating process.
Yeah, and who elects to leave of their own accord, if anyone, for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, professional opportunities or, you know, transferring out for what their own want versus maybe some soft guidance that maybe they're a better fit elsewhere, just to kind of create space for some additional bodies that you know might take this team from, like we've said, I think on their best night, you know, a solid SEC team to one that can, you know, compete more at the top of the league. So we're going to have some really, I think, more fascinating conversation about, like, the roster construction after the season. In the meantime, this is a very important game on Saturday. But even if Missouri loses, which they are projected to by Ken Pomeroy, and it's been a while since they've won on the road, I still think that this is probably the more important thing is to make sure you do not have a letdown on the road at Vandy. Try to sneak that win. Try to beat Mississippi State at home. If you can hold serve at home, capture one on the road, that's three wins up, and you're... And I mean, right there, you're at eight wins. I think that's possible. Whether or not it's likely, but either way, like, that's where I think Missouri needs to get to. That should be the goal. And I think if they can get there, then there's a lot more positivity going into next year. Matt, anything else?
Nope. I think we've sufficiently tried to keep expectations modest here for our fair listeners.
Yeah. So, less of a downer. We're always based in realism. I'm looking forward, Matt, because I have been sick, and I'm looking forward. I'm going to have maybe my first whiskey in, like, 5 days. Oh, it's been a while.
You're getting the shakes over there.
Oh, I'm looking for it. Well, I got that bottle of Heaven Hill. Has not been opened. I'm very excited about. For those unaware, if you see a bottle of Heaven Hill 7-year bottled in bond, it should be priced at about $40 to $45 a bottle.
DM at Matt J Harris 85. Give me your Venmo, and I will give you money so you can give me one of those bottles.
Pick one up. It's supposed to be really good. I have not cracked one open, or I've only got one, but I have not cracked it open. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So for me, I'm Sam. You can follow me on Twitter at Sam T. Snelling. Him, he's Matt. You can follow him at Matt J. Harris 85. We're both on Twitter. We both write at Rock'em Nation. Make sure you're subscribed because we have a football podcast in the works. I think maybe next week they're going to record. To be announced. I think it's going to be BK and Nate. Don't tell them I told you. This is why you wait until the end of the podcast. So yeah, I got to listen to the whole thing, right, Matt?
Yep.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.